Good evening. Today is Tuesday, May 14th, and we are studying the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. This week's chapter is How It Works. We are on step four, and our fabulous speaker tonight is Susan G. Thank you so much, Susan.
Thank you, Sherry, so much. Hi, everyone. I'm Susan, recovered compulsive overeater. So nice to be here. I had to plan ahead because it's 5 o'clock here in LA, but now that we're back to regular programming, I'm normally just running in the door. So I arranged it on a day when I could come. Thank you to everybody who stood up and gave service today. It's quirky, but it really is its own reward. And if you are in a space where perhaps you can stop folding your laundry or doing something and turn on your camera, I do believe it is a whole different experience to come all the way in and sit all the way down and perhaps listen for the invitation. Rachel, thank you so much for inviting me. I know a lot of you in person. Some of you have been in my home. I've known Sherry for the longest, and we won't tell you how long because then you'll try and figure out how old we are. No, that's okay. I've known her for a very long time, and I met her at Thanksgiving dinner many, many moons ago, even though we were in fellowship in the same neighborhood, we just hadn't met. And some of you, I hear your voices on Vision for You, and we're part of the same service team, so it's lovely to see your faces. And if you've seen my photos, just go and do something, but I think it's always important to share them. I came into these rooms in the early 80s, but I didn't want it because I had no resentments or anything to dispose of. But I certainly was not going to become a member of this group. I went up and down. I've lost 100 pounds more than one handful of times. Okay. And I've tried all the pills and potions and anything that you offered me. I never read the fine print, I just said yes. So here I am at 250 pounds, except, and only an addict will probably remember this one up here in the right-hand corner. I know I weighed 178. Don't ask me how, but that was also a regular size piece of clothing that I bought at Express, who unfortunately I think are going out of business now. And then this is what happened along the way. Yes, I straightened my hair and it's blonder now. C'est la vie. There you go. And this is what I look like today. And here I am actually wearing this dress today, except in that picture, I had it on with heels, but given up on those. I wear the trendy, little flats with all fun colors because then I can bebop around the office. Okay, so you're talking about step four this week. Yeah, I thought, by the time I get to step four, they're really going to understand what I went through. And steps one through three, I've given up. In step one, I've laid that foundation. I'm starting to build my arch to freedom. How exciting is that? And I've got my cornerstone and my keystone in position. So my keystone was making a decision. And in step three, which I'm sure that you got to last week, I know you did, on page 62, where I have written in the personal pronoun, so my troubles, I think, are basically of my own making. Oh gosh, I'm walking towards this inventory thing, and I may have something to do with this. They arose out of myself, and I am an addict. And I am an extreme example of self-will run riot, though I usually don't ever think so. Above everything else, I, as an addict, must be rid of this selfishness. So, we go through this, we say the prayer, we abandon ourselves. We abandon ourselves. And the principle of step three was faith. That sounds so easy. I've got honesty, hope, and faith so far. That just sounds so beautiful. And then, just like in The Wizard of Oz, here I go to find my heart, to find my soul. I'm off to see the wizard. And I'm here to see if God can rewire my heart. And so the principle for this step is courage. And just going to take a second. It's approved, AA 12 and 12. At the very beginning, it tells me that self-justification is dangerous. Oopsie-daisy. And it also tells me that step four is the beginning of a lifetime practice, which also means that, things might piss me off and I may have to do more than one. And I have done several over 24 plus years. I never ever thought I'd ever have an institution on my fourth step. How ridiculous. Oh, I have. I did a whole one on dating apps. That was a delight, but I did it. So it says it's the importantness of thoroughness. So fearless and thorough from the very start. And there are these impediments to recovery. And the first one I have on my list is a resentment I will not let go of. And I had several.
5 minutes elapsed.
Thank you. I had several, but I was convinced that once I got going, you were going to understand. And that fourth column that, you know, those wise people say about your part, mine will be empty. You probably won't even want to hear it when I tell you. So it tells me here that this is a personal inventory. And, you know, I've got to be, I have to make a strenuous effort to face and to be rid of the things in myself which has been blocking me. So I'm continuing to uncover, discover. And then there's that discarding point, right? Where I have to let go. Poof, I can't keep gripping. I have to let go, and I have to take the hand of a fellow who's gone before me and have that other hand tightly in God's. That's how I have to do this. So inch by inch, as I'm working the step, that number four is coming up. And my first one was all about family. It was my dad, my mom, and my stepmom. I mean, that was a good crew. That was a good team. And I wrote furiously. And just for me, I'm a firm believer in putting pen to paper. I'm an exceedingly fast typist. But let me tell you, when you write and you do those columns, there is a different emotion that comes out. And I really have to pause instead of doing a typing test, which I'm great at, but that isn't the point of this. And there was an emotion in it. And then I had to look at where I'd gotten on the dance floor with you, where you'd given me a little push and I'd pushed you back harder. You came at me again with two punches and now I'm kicking at you. So it appears that I have a part. And I do this just how it is in the big book, with the columns, with the piece of paper. I know there's all sorts of fun ways to do it. I shared at a meeting the other day and they told me I spoke very old school. So I don't know what that means. I speak of what is written in this book. It was very sweet. Anyway, so I looked at who I was resentful at and then the cause, and oh, epic, lost stories in there of my causes. A lot of them. And when it came to what it affected my injuries, and again, you will do as is directed by your sponsors, mine told me to write more about my injuries, not just this is that, so just complying to the list. You know, why did it affect your sex relations? Why was your self-esteem? You know, what was your fear? And talk about them more. So I'll give you an example. My parents got divorced when I was probably around 12 or 13. My mom was a paranoid schizophrenic. We had a very exciting household. My mom was the mom who ran out to the school bus in evening wear and sometimes very interesting makeup. That went on it. I was embarrassed. None of the other mummies came out to the coach, as we called it, when their kids got off, nor did they ever forget to pick them up. So my self-esteem, my fear, and the embarrassment that other people, you know, kind of would look the other way. So I had to write about that. I had to write about that. And then, you know, I had to talk about things with my dad, who I'm exceedingly close with, and we have no wreckage today. He took us away from that, but then he got remarried, and I didn't like who he remarried, and she was on the list, and boom, it went on and on and on. And actually, it didn't go on for that long. I will say, because it was pretty succinct. I knew what I wished to say about each person. I had the story down. I'd been sharing it in therapy for years. And everybody who I met, I love to tell you the story. But here it says, I have to get down to causes and conditions. So I'm a champion dieter. I have lost 100 pounds many, many times, as I may have already said. But how was I to stay stopped? How was I to have this entire psychic change? How was I to have this emotional rearrangement? Putting pen to paper. putting pen to paper, and it says, I have to search out the flaws in my makeup which have caused my failure. I didn't like it when my dad got remarried. I was riddled with jealousy. He should just be living for us. Don't you know what we just went through? He should not be happy. I should not have to dance and clap at his wedding. Absolutely not. And these are the things that I ate over. These were the things that caused my spiritual disease. I'd been mentally and physically ill, but also spiritually sick. And then they promised me that when this spiritual malady is overcome by doing this writing, and maybe more than once, I'm going to straighten out mentally and physically. So by the time I got to step
and
four,
minutes.
Thank you. By the time I got to step four, I'd taken off quite a bit of my weight. You know, I'll be very honest with you. By the time I got here, because it took me 16 years to put my bum all the way down in the seat, I wasn't fighting the food anymore. I'd been a champion dieter. I knew what it felt like. I knew what those foods were. It was so clear. It was so clear. And as soon as I let go of them, my life began to change. As soon as I let God in. And here in this step four was an opportunity to have even more of a conscious contact with the God of my understanding. To really say, okay, I know soon I have to make some apologies here too. But I'm beginning to believe from these people who I'm looking around in these rooms, who in the LA intergroup had decades, as Sherry will attest to, decades ahead of us. My sponsor was one of the first ladies in OA. So by the time I got here, she had over 30 years. That was a miracle to see how she had started, to hear her story and to watch how she was with her children and her grandchildren and her husband. She had gone before me. She had trudged before me. She had made her way through. So like any store, you know how, I don't know if they still even do it, but those big yellow signs, bankruptcy, bankruptcy, it's everywhere. I have to get rid of those unsaleable goods. I have to get rid of those resentments. It's evil and it's corroding. And anything that corrodes is, you know, if it's a pipe in your house or somewhere, it's going to explode at one point. It's going to erupt. And I had already blown up so much, so much. And I knew by sitting here and watching all of you gorgeous people that I too could straighten out mentally, physically, and have these beautiful relationships that you all had. And I wanted them. So I did it. I launched and I worked and I gave it away. And, you know, I looked at ideals. I looked at sex. I looked at my fears. I've done other inventories where I've had myself on them for wasting so much time in the food and why my life didn't look the way I wanted it to look when I got thin. So I had to work on that. And again, over the years, I've worked on all of these things. And last year, I had something with the intergroup out here. I even had to do an inventory on that. I mean, for goodness sake. But you know what? I did it. And guess what? I felt better. I felt better. My sponsor was away at the time. She was on a cruise. She could not take it for me. So I went to somebody who knew me. But most of all, not only did she know me, she wouldn't be scared to tell me, not tell me off, but to tell me, you know, you're trying to manipulate the situation here. Let's get down again to causes and conditions so I can be free. The Big Book promises me everywhere that I can go anywhere and I can be free from these resentments. And I can't skimp. I can't skimp on the mortar. Living in Los Angeles, you can't. We have earthquakes. You don't want any cracks in your foundation. You really need a good inspection. And that's what I need. I need an inspection every now and again. If you go to the doctor, if you go anywhere, sometimes I need to be looked and sometimes I need to be pulled over and be told to calm myself down. And that's okay. That's okay. Because better to know that than to think about where I haven't been yet. And there's always that yet. So if you've never written an inventory, if you're taking 3 years to do it, if you're taking 6 months to do it, I'm not telling you to do it in 2 hours or two, you know, but get it done. Make an appointment with your sponsor. Make an appointment with your sponsor. I give my sponsees 3 to 5 days. And that's because we're working, we might be in different time zones. I work, they work, but it's done within the week. Because again, it's that promise towards freedom. And guess what? It's also so that they can help somebody else, like I can today, hopefully. So it is not as scary as it sounds. And my life today is second to none because I have worked these steps precisely. I have this design for living. I get to make apologies today when I'm a schmo, and that happens. It happens. I've had to make apologies to some of you. I've had to make apologies to my family. But what doesn't feel good is when I put my head on the pillow at night and I know I didn't fix it. It's very rare that that happens, but I'm not going to lie to you. In almost 25 years, it has happened because I'd like to think I could wish it away. So I see
five
you.
Remaining.
Oh, five remaining? Oh, you got me for five more minutes. All right. I thought that I was almost done. So, you know, when I first did, I'm just trying to think now because I thought I was done. What this has also done here, it says that I am going to be on this different basis, the basis of trusting and relying on God. So that also strengthens through this. And there's a lot of prayers that you can find before you do your writing. There's a lot of step four prayers. And sometimes I've still had to pray for those other people on my list, because it's not going to help if I'm just writing this and I'm still feeling awful about them. Now, because I'm going to be radically honest with you, when I did the one on my stepmother, who I never have to see again, and she was not pleasant and everything else, I had a hard time letting go of it. I really, really did. And it took several months, and I went, funny enough, it was a workshop that was in person, and I was able to work on it with this exercise that we did. And I will tell you, I was the last person in the room out of 50 people to let go of this issue, but I did. And that was probably 18 or 19 years ago today. And today this woman holds no sizzle. There's nothing. She's the mother to my younger siblings. They live in England. I live here. But even if I saw her walking out on the street, it's really okay, because we do things at the time to the best of our ability. And she took on three children who came from a very damaged household, very, very damaged. So that wasn't easy either. So today I get to look, my perspective is so different. You know, it talks about in the AA 12 and 12 in step three, that we have this key that we put in the door to willingness, and only self-will can slam it shut again. Luckily, since I've been here, self-will hasn't shut doors all the way, but it's tried to start to close them. And that's when I make a phone call. That's when I have people who get to know me so that I can go through this process with all of you. So if you are new, welcome to Overeaters Anonymous. If you are coming back, saved your seat for you. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you, Amy.
Thank you so much, Susan. That was a great share on step four, very insightful. We are going to now open the meeting for questions or for 3-minute shares, as this is a big book study. Sharing and questions should relate specifically to the chapter and step being studied this week. We ask you to accept this guideline in order to keep the meeting on track. If you'd like to share or ask a question, please raise your virtual hand, which is under reactions. If you're on the phone, it's star 9. And I will call the raised hands in order, and we will ask you to unmute. Let me pull up the participants so I can see. Okay. Amy, please keep a timer for 3 minutes for each share and announce when the time is up. And if Susan's asked a question, allow 3 minutes for the answer. Okay, I don't see any hands yet. Here we go. Chanel T is first.
All right, thanks so much. I'm Chanel. I'm a grateful compulsive eater. I get to live in recovery today, and that's purely by the grace of God. Susan, you know, you mean a lot to me. We've never been sponsee. You were in here before I was even thinking that that I needed to be here in this program. I needed it my whole life. I mean, come on. But you were here. And I love that you're one of the people God has used to pave the path for me. And something that you did is early on, I know we're going to talk about step four, so I'll try to get to that. But early on, I was on another meeting with you, and you said, and I was one of those people who always had my camera off, always. And you were like, people, turn your cameras on. And I did a 10 step on that, I might add. And then I was like, the person I did it with, well, the people want to see other people. They don't want to just look sometimes, you know, if you're moving around or whatever. Are you always moving around on a meeting? No. Are there sometimes you could put your camera on? Yes. Could you come all the way in and sit all the way down? Probably. So yeah, it was a 10, not a 4. But but with people, I do not have anyone here who is a sponsee I'm talking about. If you're a sponsee, I am not talking about you. Okay. I promise. When you have someone who maybe they've done their 4 and they're just like, they have like 3 resentments total, and they didn't just do 1. They have 3 resentments total and they have 2 fears. What kind of things do you do to work with them when they're reading their 5th to you? Thank you.
Okay. Wait, repeat the question really quickly.
So if somebody's just like, it feels like they're really scratching the surface. They've barely got anything going on their 4 step when they come to you in the 5th. What do you do? Thanks.
You know, thank you. I haven't actually had that happen. So I'm going to have to surmise if it did. You know, by this point, we know our sponsees pretty well. So we know if it's the husband, the ex, you know, whatever it is, we sort of have an idea, or at least I do. We all pay attention, but we know who the players are. So if those players wouldn't be on the list, I would probably say, this is interesting. You've got one person. You live with 5 in your house. That's probably how I would handle it. But again, to date, I haven't had that situation.
Okay, Mary is next.
Hi, everybody. It's Mary. I'm a compulsive overeater. Sorry, it's so dark in my room. Thank you, Susan. Thank you so much. We were together at the OA birthday party, and you touched my heart so deeply. I just started to cry. Thank you for sharing. I've never seen your pictures before, so thanks for sharing those as well. And what happened today? What I've noticed over the couple of years I've been in OA is that other issues come to the surface, other feelings, other resentments that I didn't recognize or identify during my first 4th step. So I've done other 4th steps. I really appreciated learning my part because I personally love 6 and 7 because it's where I really change. You know, I do the contrary action to people pleasing or being snobby or whatever my, defects of character are. And one thing that you shared tonight was another, you know, God moment for me when you shared about your mother. Because deep in the recesses of my mind were a situation where my mother shamed me terribly in front of other people. And because of you sharing your experience, strength, and hope, that came to the surface for me. You know, and I know that there was a lot of trauma in my childhood. You know, a lot of yelling, a lot of demands put on me, a lot of chaotic insanity. But when you shared that about your mom, I remember something that my mom did to me that really impacted my little soul, you know, my little wounded little girl inside. So if for nothing else, I really appreciate you being here, me being here tonight and hearing you, because that too is another thing that I need to let go of in order to continue to grow. So thank you so much. Thank you for being here.
Thanks, Mary. Cheryl is up next, followed by Adele. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Okay, hi, this is Cheryl, recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, God. All right, I did not have my camera on when the meeting started, and for a good portion because I was frantically, I'm giving my resignation today for a job I have been in for 18 and a half years, and it's all good. I had just had the meeting with my supervisor, and I was trying to write it out because I had to follow up with it written. And I kept thinking, I'm going to get this done and then I'm going to put my camera on. And then the thought came to me, you know what? You've been here 18 and a half years. Put your program first. You can get on camera and finish that after. And I just wanted to speak up because I so appreciate you, Susan, so much. You've come out to our little Ventura and you've spoken and you've given to us. And yeah, you're one of the people who teaches me how to act more like a grown up and a lady. So I wanted to say also, you know, this experience of speaking with my supervisor, I've had deep, deep resentment with this agency for many, many, many years. And I went on a medical leave, one of many actually. And when I came back, you know, this meeting with this supervisor was somebody I really resented. And I've done my work, my inventory work with this and amends. And it was a beautiful meeting. She's happy for me. And we got to say appreciations, and we also got to acknowledge, I did, you know, other things that I needed to own with her. And I cannot believe I'm having this experience. I really can't. And she said to me, you know, Cheryl, when you came back from that last leave, you were different last year. But what she doesn't know is that I had done the inventory work with the help of a recovered person. And the only reason I'm different, and the only reason I can leave in this way, and we can share this interaction, is because of working these steps and having recovered people help me. And I wouldn't trade that for anything. I know I have no power, but I'm willing to do the work because it's way more than about the food. I'm so blessed. So it's worth it. It's worth it for freedom. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Cheryl. Adele is up, followed by Hani and then Veronica. Go ahead, Adele.
Hi, folks. Adele Compulsive Overeater. Susan, thank you so much for your share. Going through the fourth step is just amazing. The fourth step for me was such a pivotal moment in my recovery. Four and 10, to me, they're the same. To me, I treat my step 10s just as I did my step four, looking at my character defects and going through the whole kind of list. And I attribute that work to, the recovered state that I feel right now, and just being able to recognize that I am the root of all of my troubles. I don't look at my part. I am the part. I can trace everything back to me, whether it's people are retaliating against me because it's something that I've done or said out of selfishness, that my expectations are too high. The first thing I ask myself when I'm disturbed is, why do I care? Why am I letting another person's actions, feelings, thoughts towards me affect me when really all I need is my higher power? My higher power tells me that every day, and it's through doing inventory every single day. Whether it's obvious to me or not, when I first started in the program, I was doing like seven, eight step 10s a day. Now I have to actually look to find one, but I'll always find one because as long as I'm breathing, I'm selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, I have fear every single day. But after going through them daily and looking for these trends, what I know about myself now is I'm very self-seeking. I'm very selfish. I'm very much a director. I want to run the show. And when the show doesn't go my way, I'm resentful. I'm resentful of other directors. They disturb me the most. I don't want anyone else running the show because I want to run the show. So I don't want to be an actor to another director because I want to be the director. So therefore, I'm more disturbed at other directors. But my big book tells me I have to show other directors
the same pity, patience, and tolerance that I would cheerfully grant a sick friend. So I have to be extra nice to the other directors. So that's my goal every single day. Who can I be extra nice to? If I have to wonder, like, who do I have to practice my patience, kindliness, tolerance, and love towards? It's the people who piss me off, and it's the other directors. No offense to other directors out there, but I'm a director of all directors. But just knowing this and reminding myself every single day, I don't need any external factors. Another person's words and actions cannot affect me. I have my connection with my higher power, and that's all I need. Now, I don't know what it would take to knock me off my sunbeam. Like, I'm telling you, this is transformational stuff. I've been reborn, rearranged, reawakened, whatever you want to call it. I am a brand new person. And a lot of it I attribute to the work that I put in doing this inventory every single day. And I'm just so grateful for this program. The freedom is absolutely incredible. And it only started when I started going through the steps, not when I went to meetings and read literature and did outreach calls. I carried the mess. I didn't carry the message for months. It wasn't until I went through the steps with a sponsor, had my spiritual awakening, that I'm feeling the promises. So thank you. I'll pass.
Thanks, Adele. Hani is up next, followed by Veronica. Go ahead, Hani.
I think I got it. Okay. Hi, Hani. I'm a compulsive overeater in Miami. I'm so happy to be here. I love seeing so many familiar faces, and it's such a treat. So thank you. And thank you, Susan, so much for your share tonight. I always get so much from you and from your shares. You really make this program fun. You really do. And I so appreciate that. You know, today I read something interesting. I read an article, and it was about the weight loss drug, you know, and Oprah is saying that, long story short, she'd been blaming herself for being overweight, and she has a predisposition that no amount of willpower is going to control, and obesity is a disease. It's not about willpower, it's about the brain, you know. And these are things I've heard always since being in these rooms, you know, always, like, we're powerless, and the shame and the beating ourselves up and everything that goes along with it, I completely understood. But the first thing I felt was such gratitude, you know, such gratitude that even if I was offered a drug today, I can't imagine wanting to take it, because the life that I get here is so much more than a pill could give me, you know? And specifically thinking about step four, you know, I've had a chance to do it several times in my life, as well as, you know, continuing with step 10s. And the first question I need to ask myself before I even do it is, am I done being a victim? You know, am I done being a victim? Because the freedom of victimhood that I get from doing a step four is instant. You know, it's the surrender for me of saying that, like, hey, I could hold on to this and find every reason to go back to the food, or I could be free. And that's the willpower I do have today, you know, and for me, it's been such a key to freedom. I just feel so fortunate, you know, so, like, that we get this, that we get it. And I don't know, if there are newcomers here, you know, there's the miracle that happens when the action gets done, you know. And in my experience of doing it several times, step four, step five, the outcome's always the same. It's, why didn't I do this sooner? You know, like, why wait even a minute? So just continue on your journey, and available for outreach if anyone's looking. So thank you.
Thanks, Hani. We're going to now stop the recording for unrecorded questions or shares.